Take your Bibles, please. Turn to Psalm 145. Psalm 145, we're going to read verses 15 through 21 together. Psalm 145, verses 15 through 21. We'll read this passage responsively. And then we'll have a special after I pray, and then we'll jump right into the service this morning. Psalm 145, verses 15 through 21, right in the middle of your Bible there. Psalm 145, verses 15 through 21. The eyes of all wait upon thee, and thou givest them their meat in due season. Thou openest thine hand, and satisfiest the desire of every living thing. The Lord is righteous in all his ways, and holy in all his works. The Lord is nigh unto all them that call upon him, to all that call upon him in truth. He will fulfill the desire of them that fear him. He also will hear their cry and will save them. The Lord preserveth all them that love him, but all the wicked will he destroy. And let's finish on verse 21 together. Ready? My mouth shall speak the praise of the Lord, and let all the flesh bless his name forever and ever. And let's pray. Father, we sure do need you this morning. Holy Spirit of God, do that which only you can do. Lord, would you meet the need of each and every heart and each and every life in this room? Heartache, grief, pain, burdens, Lord, just so many things. I pray that you just help us today. Use the preaching of your word to meet the needs of every person here in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Now, I want your attention this morning. I want to share a refreshing truth with you today that if you'll let it, it could change your life. Let me say it this way. Those of you that get a hold of this truth and actually use it, not just hear it, it's going to cause more fulfilled life, happier life, less depression, and for sure, less anger and less disappointment in life. Now, if you'll listen to me, it's not a matter of I think. I know I can help you today. I don't know about you, but I want God pleased with my life. I would like for God to be pleased with me. I'd like for me to be a blessing to you, but I'd also like to be a blessing to God. You know, we often say, well, God must not like me. I didn't have a very good day. Well, let me ask you a question. What did you do to give God a good day? When's the last time you looked towards heaven and said, God, I hope you have a good day today. Let me do something to help you have a good day. God promises us so many things in the Bible. If you still have your Bible open there, I'm going to read one other verse in Psalm 145, verse number 2. It says, every day will I bless thee, and I will praise thy name forever and ever. Every day I will bless thee, I will praise thy name forever and ever. Now, look at me, if you will. We Christians are really good at wanting God to bless us and to help us. But when's the last time you said, I want to bless God? We're real good about looking for God blessing us, but how good are we at looking at how we can bless God? We're good at saying, God gave me a good day today. God gave me a great day yesterday. But did God have a good day yesterday? Did God have a great day yesterday? I think God gave Grace Baptist Church a couple good days in a row here.
Yes.
Good night. We had 30-some people saved yesterday. Brother Fred went out bus visiting with Brother Stokes yesterday. And they had 5 visitors on the bus today.
Amen.
And those visitors came and got saved. Amen, Brother Fred? That's what it's all about. Say, well, I didn't do much, neither did I. I just showed up and did what I was supposed to and let God give the increase.
That's right.
You don't have to do anything other than be there and do what God said to do. You know, there's a real hard word for us to live, but it's a real easy word in the Christian life. It's the word obey. When we just obey, God does what we cannot do. Now, listen to me very carefully here. I want you to know that every day you and God can have a good day. You never have to end a day without having a good day if you'll do what God tells us to do. Now, that means you can have a blessing every day if you give a blessing every day. You see, I want every person in our church to learn today how to bless God daily so that God can bless you every day. It doesn't have to be an occasional, once in a while, God just does something extra special for you, Brother Stoltz. It could be every day God gives you a blessing.
Amen.
Can I tell you why this preacher is happy all the time? Because God blesses me every day. He does. God blesses me every day. You say, why is that? Because I try to bless him every day. Did you know if you become a blessing to someone, God can bring someone your way to be a blessing as well?
Yes.
I love what we call this thing over here for you ladies. Make me a blessing. Say, what is that? You choose a name off there, one or two or three. Don't know what the name is. We put it in such a way to where... you get the luck of the draw. And if you get your own, you have your own party. Amen. But you pull a name or two or three off, and you don't know what their favorites are. You don't have a list of things that are their most important things and days. You just pull it off to be a blessing to somebody. I've watched ladies come in here and grab a half a dozen or more of those things and walk back in with a bunch of stuff and pile up the pulpit. I love it. Say, what is it? Nothing big, just trying to be a blessing.
Yes.
Every once in a while, that candy bar comes in handy. Amen, Mrs. Barnes? Every once in a while, the little knick-knack or whatever it is, it just refreshes you. Say, well, it wasn't my favorite. Maybe you'll learn how to receive something that isn't your favorite, but it's still a blessing. Sometimes you just haven't tried anything. It might become your new favorite. Now, wait a minute here. God wants to bless you every day, but that means we must bless him every day. Psalm 145 verse 2, it says, every day will I bless thee, and I will praise thy name forever and ever. It doesn't say God will bless you every day. It says we're supposed to bless him every day. In the process, God shares some things with us. I love this. Look at verse number 16. It says, thou openest thine hand and satisfiest the desire of every living thing. When you bless God every day, Malachi, God has his hand open full of blessings, and you get to put your hand in his and take out of his hand a blessing. Now, I don't know about you. Those are the kind of hands I won't put my hand in, amen. I want to be able to reach up and put my hand into God's blessed hand and get his hand of blessing upon me. Say, how do you do that? By blessing him every day. He says when you bless him, he opens up that hand so that you can receive a blessing. Can I tell you something? We've got this thing backwards. God, you bless me and then I'll praise you. God, you give me something and then I'll thank you for it. No, God says, why don't you do something for me first? Is it so selfish for God to want you to do something for yourself? Most of the time, we're guilty of Christian welfare. Gimme, 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 gimme. It's all I want. When's the last time you did something for God? Not expecting something in return, just to give God a good day. Everybody doing all right? Here we go. I'm going to show you how to do it in the next 25, 30 minutes. Number one, we must daily look for ways to serve God to give him a good day. Psalm 145, verse number 15. I want you to keep your Bible open there. I want you to mark a word here if you mark in your Bible. It says, the eyes of all wait upon thee. Now, that wait means something different than what you think.
Brother Roy, that word wait doesn't mean what you did for your wife for all those years when you were ready to go and she wasn't. You got to sit there and wait for her. The word wait is the same word we would use in a restaurant for waiter or waitress. That's someone who comes and serves at the table. If you went to a restaurant and you had a waitress that was there, and they sat there expecting you to serve them food and buy their dinner, how well would that go over at the restaurant? You wouldn't go back. You wouldn't pay the way. Wait a minute. God doesn't say that I'm going to bless you if you sit on your blessed assurance saying, okay, God, I'm going to sit here and wait for you. That's not what waiting on the Lord is. They that wait upon the Lord, the Bible says in Isaiah, shall renew their strength. It doesn't mean you sit there on your blessed do nothing. It means you get up and you serve him. You get up and do something for him. And when you get up and do something for him, he then has the wherewithal to bless you. That's how simple it is. God says that we are to wait on him. That doesn't mean sit there twiddling your thumbs, doing nothing. The average church in America today is sitting on their blessed assurance, saying, Jesus is mine, but they're not doing anything with it. Everybody doing okay?
Yes, sir. Good job.
I'm not angry here. I was at that little church yesterday. That bless that old pastor's heart. He looked at me and he said, never saw anything like that. I said, don't blame me for where you went to college. I didn't say that. I wanted to. And he said, how does that happen? I said, I can tell you how it happened. I said, it happens because of soul winning. I said, one person led one person to Christ in our church. And that led to a family getting done into our church and getting saved. And that family reached this person. And that person let me reach Melvin. And in the process of reaching Melvin, look at all the people that got saved today.
Praise the Lord.
I said it started because somebody was willing to give the gospel and serve God the right way. He said, well, I'm trying to get this thing started. It's as dead as can be. I said, we just go out knocking on doors. Said, I don't always reap where I've sown, but God always allows us to reap.
Amen. Yes, sir.
I said, you just start scattering the seed. Eventually, something's going to grow.
Yes, sir.
He said, man. He said, I've never seen anything like this. I said, we get to see it every week at our church.
That's right.
I said, I don't mean to be unkind. I said, you just got to get with it. You got to work. It's called the work of the Lord. I said, we got to do God's work. I said, serve him and get your people excited about serving him. We don't need to look for any way to serve God. There's so many different ways we can serve him. Do you know that the Bible says that if you give a glass of water in my name, there am I. You've served one of my children, one of our teenage young ladies. Make sure that my water cup gets filled every service. She's serving God by just putting water on the pulpit for the preacher.
Yes, sir.
That's a way to serve God. Now, I don't think that ought to be the only way you serve God. But at least she's doing something.
Amen.
And by the way, she does more than that. You're welcome, Julia. But the Bible says if you give a cup of cold water in my name, God says if you clothe those that don't have the right clothing or have clothing, that you're putting clothes on him. Can I tell you something? We are supposed to do things for God. How do we serve God? Now, you're not going to go to heaven and fill his coffee cup, but you could serve one another. And in the process of serving one another, you're serving him.
Yes, sir.
You go out and knock on doors and invite people to come to church and give them the gospel and you're serving him. You could work in the nursery or in junior church and Sunday school and bus route and all the different things we got going on. One day when we have our own building, a whole lot more of it. Amen.
Yes, sir.
There's going to be plenty of opportunity to serve, but may I say this? We are to look every day for a way to serve God with our life. Now, that means this. That means we're supposed to bear people's burdens. Bear ye one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. Hey, when's the last time you ever cared enough about somebody to help them carry the load? I get a little tired of these preachers, these Pharisees that get up and somebody messes up in the church and they want to get up and tell everybody all the bad somebody did. My Bible says in that same chapter, "Ye which are spiritual, restore such a one." Spiritual people restore fallen people, don't kick them when they're down.
Yes, sir.
Spiritual people give people that get back up a chance.
Amen.
You give them a hand, not your foot, and kick them. Bless God, those hands are made for lifting, not for fighting. Now, I'll fight the devil. I'm like Billy Sunday. I'll fight the devil till I'll punch him till I don't have any fists left. I'll punch him till my hands are nubs, and then when my hands are nubs, I'll punch him till my arms are gone. When my arms are gone, I'm going to bite him. I'll bite him till I don't have any teeth, and then when I don't have any teeth, I'm just going to gum him to death.
Amen.
Yeah.
I'll fight the devil that way. It doesn't bother me a bit, but I'm not going to fight you. I'd rather lift you up. I'd rather fight the devil around you to keep you protected, but I'm not going to fight you. You see, we're supposed to love, and love is an action. Notice the Bible says, "The eyes of all that wait upon thee, and thou givest them their meat in due season." God says, if you'll just serve me, I can give you your meat in due season. You may not get it right away, but you're going to get it. God doesn't always pay on Friday, but God always pays. God may not give it to you when you are wanting it, but God will give it to you. By the way, if you'll wait, God will give you more than what you asked for, as long as you're serving him. So we must look daily for a way to serve God and give God a good day. Number two, good night. God promises closeness to those who call upon him. Look at verse number 18. The Lord is nigh or close unto all that call upon him, to all that call upon him in truth. Did you know that you can get close to God if you talk to him? Did you know you get close to somebody by talking to him, not just being near them? I got to tell you this story. It's kind of funny. When I went to Bible college, Brother Hiles was my pastor. You have to understand, the church was running 20,000 plus. That's more people than live in Martinsburg. Yes. Went to the church. All right? Imagine the entire population of Martinsburg going to church in one church. That's what our church was like every day. Okay? 7,000 seat auditorium. We ran buses all from North Chicago to West Chicago to Valparaiso and East Chicago, LaPorte and Michigan City, Indiana, all the way down south into St. John and below. I mean, everywhere. Our drive-in crowd was in the tens of thousands, just so you know. We'd run 5,000 on buses and have 22, 23,000 people in church. Okay, you tell me how many drove in. Okay, and when I went to college, there was over 2,000 students in the college. You didn't get real close to the pastor every day. But I figured out about my sophomore years or so, late freshman year, he would leave the auditorium, go out the back of the auditorium, down the alley, and up the steps to the other end of the building into where his office was. And those of you that have been there know what I'm talking about. I found that he took that same path every service. So, every week, certain service, I went out there. I stood in the alley, and as he walked by, he'd walk by and howdy me, shake my hand, walk on through. Sometimes he'd stand there and talk for just a second. Most time it's, hi, how are you? Shake hands. He'd keep going. I did that for Brother Mike almost 3 years. I never told him who I was. Never introduced myself. Just stood there. It was in January of my senior year. I was having my senior appointment with him. It was scheduled a couple months in advance to get ready for what I was going to do when I graduated. And we were going to talk about my future a little bit. I walked in. He said, "Craig, good to have you in." I said, he called me by name. Oh, boy. I said, he looked, what do you say? And he said, "You're the young man that stands in the alley by a certain spot every week, aren't you?" He said, "I've shaken your hand every week for about 3 years now." He said, "I know who you are." I had no idea. I don't think I said 100 words to him in 3 years. Other than, "Hi."
"Howdy."
That's about the only word I knew how to say to him. You say, "Why'd you do that?" Just wanted to get close to him. Can I tell you when I got really close to him? Is when I started talking to him. When I started talking to him, started really getting close to him. He helped us get to our first church in California, and then everything kind of went belly up there. Things were changing, and it was a mess. One day my phone rang, and it was Brother Hiles calling me. How to this day he knew what happened, I do not know. I think he and God had a direct line, because he knew things only I knew. My wife didn't even know. But he called me and said, and by the way, he called me. I didn't call him. I didn't call back and say, "Oh, it's getting tough out here. What do I do?" I was just plugging away. He called me. He called me on the phone. Then we were in South Carolina working. He helped us get there. Got there, and while I was busy working there, too busy to think about anything else, one day he called and asked if I wanted to go on staff there at First Baptist with him. I mean, out of the blue. I had no idea. I called home, called my wife. I said, "Honey, I got to come home and talk to you." She said, "What's the matter?" I said, "You ain't going to believe this one." She said, "What?" I said, "I can't talk about it over the phone. I got to finish an appointment, but I'm coming home. And just let me tell you, find somebody to watch the kids, because we got to go take a walk and we got to talk through this." She said, "What?" I said, "It's okay, but you ain't going to believe this." I got home. Somebody came, watched the kids for us. I think we had two kids at that time. I told her. She said, "You're lying." I said, "No, I'm not." I said, "I promise you." I said, "I couldn't make up a lie that big." We were both shocked. Say, what was that? Then I started working with him. Man, I loved to talk to him. My kids got to be at his office every week and give him a little treat. They got to know him. They got to love him. You say, how? By talking to him. Can I tell you something? When you start talking to God, you get close to him. Just being around is good, but when you start talking to him, that's a whole lot better. You know, being around Brother Hiles was good, but being on first name basis with him and talking to him, that was a whole lot better. Being under his influence was tremendous, but being somebody he knew by face and by name, that was a whole lot better. God wants us to initiate the conversation with him, though. Did you know that God is a little bit shy? Did you ever notice that God doesn't come down and force his way on anybody? Josh, when God came down and get you saved, he didn't come down and say, "All right, Josh, you're going to get saved today," and rip him down and say, "Get down there and you get saved." God doesn't come down and do that, amen? You all right? I didn't hurt him too bad, I don't think. You know, God doesn't come down and force you to do anything. God wants... You all right? Did I push your glasses in your eyeballs? God, he was sleeping? All right, I wasn't paying attention. He's awake now. He woke up with God on his shoulder, amen? Now, wait a minute. Can I tell you something? God, look at me. God doesn't make you do anything. You know, God doesn't make anybody get saved. God doesn't make you read your Bible. God doesn't make you pray. God doesn't make you be spiritual. But watch me. When you start initiating it, he starts getting closer to you. You initiate it, and he'll start coming back. You initiate it, he'll come back. I don't go to people in this church and say, "Bless God, you got to come see me." If you need my counsel, you'll come see me. It's there. But I don't force anybody to do it. You say, why? Because that's the way God is. You know, God uses the Holy Spirit in the Bible to speak back to you, but you got to initiate the conversation. We feel closer to someone when they initiate the conversation with us. My wife and I, when I bowled her over in the hallway of the college the first time I met her, and she was there the next day and the next day, and finally after the third or fourth day, I got the hint and I decided I'd talk to her. You say, what was that? We got close because we began to talk to one another. And when she started initiating the conversation and I started initiating conversation, that's when we got close. That was over 30 years ago, praise God. You see, take time every day to talk to God. Take time every day to serve God. Number three, we need to fear God daily. Look at verse number 19. It says, he will fulfill the desire of them that fear him. Now, I'm going to make a statement here. I know you've read theologians. You've read Mr. Schofield, who says that is a holy reverence for God. Do you know what the word fear means?
Fear.
It means you ought to be scared out of your wits. There ought to be a respect, yes, but it means God is so big, so great, so powerful, there's nothing he can't do, and he could squish you like a bug that quick. And he has the right to. The Bible says that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. So God says we have to have a healthy fear for God. Can I tell you why you need to fear God? Because you're full of pride like I am?
Yes.
When man decides he knows better than God, he's not fearing God, he's fearing himself. And it's an act of humility to submit to God. When you say, I'll do what God says, I don't need to do what I say. It doesn't make sense what God says, but I'll do what God says. You are in fear of God, what he may do or what he could do.
Yes.
I have to keep myself in the fear of God. I know enough about Christianity. I think I know I could do a few things. But I stood in the back of an auditorium yesterday as a bunch of people started rolling into a funeral. And I looked at the preacher before I walked up and said, preacher, pray for me. I said, it's me and God now. And I said, I needed to be him and not me. As I walked down the aisle to the podium, I was saying, oh God, please use me today. Oh God, do this through me. Don't let me say things in my flesh. Oh God, you use this. And when hands started going up for salvation, guess what? God did it. Those weren't my words. Those were God's words. It wasn't me knowing a few tricks. It was God. Now, we must fear God daily. This keeps us humble and lets God be God, and we don't try to be God ourselves. Can I tell you something? You make a pretty lousy God. Can I tell you something even better than that? I make a worse God. I don't have a pope, which is a man God. I'm not trying to be God to man. The Pope lifts himself up as the most holy reverend. Can I tell you the only one that's supposed to be called holy and reverend is God?
Amen.
The only one to be called holy and reverend is God. Not some dude that puts his britches on the same way I do.
Yes, sir. That's right.
Wears a $500,000 grapefruit on his head. Call him father and dress it like mama.
Yeah.
And can't even get out of his bathrobe to be in front of people. Good night. That guy gets paid more money and has more power wearing a bathrobe than most people do wearing a suit. But I ain't wearing no bathrobe in public. I ain't wearing no bathrobe. Just give me my jammies, amen? It's jammy time. Wait a minute. When you fear God, you put yourself in the place where God is God and you're not God. Young people, listen to me. You think you know a lot about life. You don't know anything yet.
Yep.
I don't mean that to be arrogant, but can I tell you something? Some of us old codgers with gray hairs made the same mistake you're about to make. Listen to somebody that knows what they're talking about.
Yes, sir.
Listen to a preacher that's talked to hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of thousands of people. Has watched people make mistake after mistake after mistake after mistake after mistake after mistake. Been through virtually every problem you could ever face in your life. Seen people do it right and seen people do it wrong. Why don't you listen to somebody that's been down the road a lot farther than you? Experience is not the best teacher. Somebody else's experience is. Thank God, Brother Mike, that God saved you out of being an old vomiting drunk. Can I tell you something? I don't have to drink enough to get so sick I throw up everywhere, laying in a gutter to find out drinking's wrong.
Yes, sir.
Amen. I don't have to have lived a life of immorality to find out that it's not the life to live. You know, you have to submit to somebody. Let me ask you a question. If you had a choice between you and God, which would you take? Then why do you submit to yourself more than you do God? We have to keep ourselves in line so that God can lead us, and we don't ask God to follow us. Let me say that again. When we fear God, that means we stay in line with Him. When we quit fearing God, we say, God, either you do this or else. Here's how we spiritualize it. Brother Jimbo, you're going to love this one. When we start leading God, this is what we do. Well, I'm going to do this, and God showed me through a sign. I put the fleece out. And as long as God keeps doing this, and if He does this by this certain time, it's all going to be okay, and I know it'll be God's will. You won't find that in the Bible. You're asking God to follow your timeline. Why don't you get in line and do it God's way? Everybody doing all right? Can I tell you something? When you do it God's way, God gives you wisdom. When you fear God and keep yourself in line, God will give you wisdom. Young people, listen to me. And please don't take this as arrogance. I have lived the life every adult in this room wants you to live.
Amen.
I didn't go out and do drugs. I didn't go out and get involved in the rock music culture. I didn't go out and smoke and get involved in alcohol. I didn't get involved in immorality and improprieties.
Amen.
Can I tell you something? I lived the life we preach around here. I don't have to say, don't do that, don't do that.
Amen.
Do what I did.
Yes, sir.
That's why I started preaching when I was 13 years old. Now, I'm not saying every one of you have to be in full-time service, but may I say this, I didn't go out and do those wrong things. The world would say, I was a pretty good kid. Don't ask my dad. I did a lot of things stupid. Matter of fact, I still do some of them. But may I say this, I gained wisdom as a young man well beyond my years because I didn't do some of those things my way. I had two colleges offer me scholarships to where my college would have been just about paid for. My grandma's American Baptist Church, if I'd have just gone to a church, to a college that was approved by the American Baptist Convention, they would have paid all 4 years of my college. One of which called me, and it was Jerry Falwell, Liberty University. Jerry called me and asked me to come to his college and he'd pay my scholarship. I told Brother Jerry, because at that time he was already changing. I said, I'm not going there, I'm going to Hiles Anderson. As a cocky senior in high school. Craig, what does Hiles Anderson have that Liberty doesn't have? I said, the will of God.
Amen.
No lie. Cross my heart. Hope Brother Joe dies. Brother Hiles died in 2001. That was good night. 16 years later. 16 years later, at Brother Hyle's funeral, Jerry Falwell was there on the Friday evening service. I walked over and introduced myself as one of the staff there. Said, Brother Falwell, thank you for coming. Thank you for being a friend to Brother Hyle's. Now, they didn't preach together in the latter years and weren't real close in the latter years, but they had been in earlier ministry when Jerry was going the right direction.
Right.
He said, Bush, Craig Bush, you from Ohio? Jerry Falwell had a photographic memory. Amazing mind. I said, yes, sir. He said, you graduated from here, didn't you? He said, yes, sir, 1989. He said, did I call your house? I said, yes, sir. He said, aren't you the young man that told me the difference between liberty and here was God's will was here? I'm thinking, yes, sir. He reached that big old hand of his out. He said, congratulations, young man. He said, you did the right thing. You proved the will of God. He said, I'm glad you turned me down now. I thought, so am I. I didn't have as much wisdom back then as I had later, but I'm glad I feared God enough to do what God wanted.
Yes, sir. Amen.
My senior year of high school had two pro contracts offered to me to play, get into the farm leagues of professional sports. Didn't need it. I wanted to do what God wanted. Can I tell you something? Wisdom means we see the way God sees, not the way man sees. And until you fear God and get in line with God, you're not going to see what he sees. I just don't understand God right now. You don't have to understand him. Just get in line and do what he says.
That's good.
Well, it just doesn't make sense to me. Doesn't have to make sense to you. Why don't you do what God says? When we do things wisely, we're less likely to get ourselves in trouble and mess life up.
Amen.
When we do things God's way, we're less likely to mess ourselves up. Can I tell you something? God wants you to have better than you have. God wants the best for what you have. God loves you enough to want to give you best, but you're going to have to follow him and be in line to get it. Boy, that's a good statement. So, take time every day to fear God and let him be God by humbling yourself. Can I tell you something? We don't pray to a statue. We don't pray to some fat belly Buddha and rub his belly and say, help me Jesus, amen? We don't pray to a false God. We don't pray to Mother Mary because she's the mother and God and Queen of Heaven. And because she birthed Jesus, she has access to him that we don't have. No, we have a direct line access to God himself.
Amen.
We don't pray to a statue. We don't pray to a piece of wood. We don't pray to a porcelain God. We don't pray to some ethereal God. We don't pray to the trees and to the flowers and the poison sumac and everything else. We pray to the Creator God of the universe who put this world in order and knows it better than any of us. Why do we want to try to do it ourselves? Take time every day to fear him and be humbled in front of him. Take time daily to talk to him. Take time daily to serve him. And lastly, take time to love God daily. Take time to love God daily. Can I tell you something? I love that little lady sitting right there. You know, there's not a day of her life goes by, and hasn't for the last 29 plus years, and I haven't told her that I love her. I say, well, preacher, you've only been married almost 28 years. Yeah, but I was in love with her long before we got married, amen? There's not a day of her life she has not heard me say, I love you. Let me ask you a question. When's the last time you told God you love him? Now I'm going to go one step farther. I probably don't succeed at this as well as I should. But I think if you ask her, in the last 28 years or so, not many days I haven't tried to prove my love to her. To do something to show her that I love her. Let me ask you a question. Not just have you told God you love him, what have you done today to prove to him you love him? Say, how do we do that? Come on Wednesday night, we're teaching on the love of God. My Bible says, if you love me, keep my commandments. We love God by obeying this book right here. We don't love God like we should when we run away from him. We don't love God like we should when we do what we want over what God wants. We don't love God the way we should when we get upset at our spouse because we're not getting what we want. Hello. We don't love God when we say, well, God, if this doesn't happen, I'm giving up. Oh, that's a wonderful way to go. Go back to the weak and beggarly ailments, whereunto he desired again to be in bondage. God, if this doesn't happen my way, you're going to go live for the devil, huh? That's a good way to live. Well, if you're not living for him, you're living against him. Everybody doing all right? Love is an action. When's the last time you told God you love him? When's the last time you sang a song, a love song to God? When's the last time you did something to show God you love him? Can I tell you something? When I got done yesterday and I got alone yesterday, I looked at God and I said, I love you, and I tried to prove it today. I did what you said. I said, man, you loved me back a whole lot more than I loved you. But I tried to show you I love you. God promises to preserve you if you love him. Look at verse number 20. The Lord preserveth all them that love him, but all the wicked will he destroy. Wow. Do you know what the word preserve means? It means he keeps it tasty, keeps it in a pleasant condition. If you put a bunch of peaches in a jar, and just screw the lid on them and leave them till next year, what kind of shape they gonna be in? You're gonna open them up and they're gonna go, and you're gonna end up like Brother Mike was before he got saved, drunk. Peach wine, amen. It'd be nasty. But preserving means you got to put a little heat and a little pressure to it. You got to cold pack them, amen? Got to put the heat to them, got to put them under pressure. And then that little ball jar lid goes, and it's sealed. Then that thing's going to be good for a good long time. Unless it didn't seal right, and you made grape juice, and your mother gives it to you at 6:30 in the morning, and it's fizzy. Not a good thing, amen? We went to school half drunk that day. I mean, now wait a minute. Can I tell you something? Preserving means it lasts longer. It's in the right condition for a long period of time. God says if we love him, he will preserve our life. I had somebody contact me last night, asked me to speak somewhere. And they were being kind and gracious, and they said, keep on going forward for Christ. And I said, my transmission doesn't have reverse. I can show you the text. I said, my transmission has no reverse. I only know forward. And pedal to the metal at that. Amen? And this person came back and said, yes, always forward. No regrets. No retiring. I said, Brother Hiles taught me I'm not going to get retired. I'm going to get retreaded. I don't plan on retiring. Just put a new tread on me. I'll keep on going as long as the wheels spin. Amen?
Yes.
Just retread me. I'm not going to retire. Now, wait a minute. He will not let destruction come to you. I didn't say bad things weren't going to come, but God won't let destruction come. God's not going to let destruction come. I was thinking of Jimbo and Loretta this week. Good night. Loretta just lost her mama about a year ago, and another brother or something in before then, and Jimbo's got a sister that's got cancer real bad and doesn't look like she's going to make it. I mean, they've been through it these last couple years. Good night. Let's pray for Loretta. She's got to live with Jimbo. That's enough to make you want to pray for somebody, amen? Now, wait a minute. You talk about a couple that loves the Lord, though, and loves people. Brother Jimbo would give his life to help somebody. It's just the kind of guy he is. He quietly has served God and loved God behind the scenes when you didn't even know it. And I thought, you know, they're going through a tough time, but God's being near to them. God's being dear to them right now. It's hard. It's not easy. I was thinking of Brother Harry and 5-way bypass surgery. And the doctor wasn't even going to do it at first. Poor Miss Kathy and Brother Harry. He's laying there in the bed after a scope job. And the doctor said, why don't you come back next week and we'll do it next week after Thanksgiving. And I looked at the doctor and wanted to punch his lights out. And I said, excuse me, I said, could he have surgery today or tomorrow? I watched Harry's eyes get about that big. I said, Brother Harry, I love you, but you ought not get out of that bed right now. I said, I have never had to do this in my entire ministry, but don't you go anywhere. I said, Doc, go find if he can get surgery tomorrow. The guy left the room. And I looked at them. I said, I saw those pictures. You're about to die. Do not get off this bed. You need surgery now. I said, normally I'd tell you to call your kids and talk about it and stuff. I said, you don't have time. The biggest artery in his heart, supposed to be about the size of your little finger, it was bigger around than your thumb for about that far outside the heart. It was bulging, ready to explode. I said, don't do it. You'll never make it back. Thank God they found surgery for him the next morning. I didn't want to tell him that. I knew what he was facing. But I knew what he was facing. I knew what she was facing if he didn't. I didn't want to preach his funeral. Not then. He's got too many years left. Can I tell you something? Every once in a while, we just need to listen to God. Serve him and love him. Take time every day to love him. Can I tell you something, though? God used that to help some folks in their sphere of influence to get closer to the Lord. Through all of that, God started to heal some people. God will keep you from destruction. God will keep those that love him from being destroyed by the wicked. Please listen to this. You don't have to defend me. It's all right. If somebody's unkind, don't listen to them. Just serve God. Go out and find somebody that wants it. They can't bother me that bad. Trust me. Say, well, I know somebody that was criticizing you. I know. Yeah, I'd give you a list of 1,000. Don't worry about it. I don't try to defend myself. I just go find those that want the help. Now listen to me very carefully. Take time to love God each day. Take time to fear God each day. Take time to talk to God each day. Take time to do something and serve God each day. And if we do those 4 things, God says he'll open up his hand of blessing every day. And you'll get to choose out of his hand a blessing that he has for you. What a wonderful thing. You know, he'll bless you individually. He'll bless your family. He'll bless our church. He'll bless your work. God says, got something folded up in my hand. If you just do those things, I'll open up my hand and put it in yours, and you can take it with you. I took Dr. Anderson back to the airport last year. Saying goodbye to him, he reached out his hand and he said, now, preacher, there's something in my hand. You better take it. And we shook hands and I grabbed it and put it in my pocket. I left. A little bit later, I reached in my pocket and pulled out. It was $100 bill. He said, why don't you take your wife on a date? He said, take it out of my hand. Well, he didn't know I could take her on 4 or 5 dates for that much. Bless God. I didn't go to places on dates he went because I couldn't spend that much on a date. Can I tell you something? That's kind of like what God would do. He got it all folded up in his hand and said, if you do those things, here, let me put it in your hand. But you got to do those 4 things. Every day will I bless thee. Take time every day to do something to bless God. And can I tell you something? You'll cancel your pity party. You'll cancel your nervous breakdown. You'll cancel your depression. You'll cancel your panic attacks. You'll cancel all those things if you just do those things every day. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Who would say, preacher, somewhere inside that sermon, something I needed today. Would you raise your hand? Oh, my soul. Dozens and dozens and dozens of hands. You may put them down. If you've never been saved, today's the day to get saved. If you've been saved and never baptized, we can take care of that today. If you've been saved and baptized, you raised your hand a moment ago. In a moment, we'll stand, and when we stand to our feet, you come to this altar and use this altar. Maybe you just need to come get right with the Lord. Maybe you just need to come and say, God, I love you. Maybe you just need to come and ask God to help you give him a good day today.